We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's another weekend where the Saints utterly surprise us, this time in a positive way, by beating the Bucks. The Bucks had an opportunity to claim the NFC South title for the third straight year. The Saints make it a little bit more difficult for them by getting the win 23-13. Thank you guys for joining us live on New Year's. Happy New Year if you guys are watching back at home and around town. Let us know where you guys are watching from. We are joining you live on NewOrleans.football. I'm Brooke Kirchhoffer. He's Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett. Man, this Saints team, we say inconsistently, consistently inconsistent. Either one works. It depends on which week you're talking about. But, man, another surprise. And, look, playoffs are still alive.
Yeah, they are. Look, we kind of felt like this team had no pulse. And, look, if you have no pulse and you need to figure things out, you should check out the Toro Hospital Studio. They'll get your pulse going if you need to get your pulse going. The LCMC Medical Network, represented by PJ's Coffee. And if you need to get a new car, hit up my guy, Matt Bowers. He'll get you right, get you the best prices. They got the best customer care, the best of everything. So make sure you check them out. All right, let's hit these ads.
The NewOrleans.football show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Moe's Barbecue is located in Metairie. They have your game day needs taken care of. Whether you're tailgating or watching the black and gold or LSU at home with friends, Moe's has you covered. Order pulled pork, wings, ribs, sides, and more. Come in with the family for lunch and dinner as their kids' meals will please even the pickiest of eaters. Tailgating, parties at home, lunch and dinner, Moe's Barbecue will handle it all. Moe's Original Barbecue, 1101 North Causeway Boulevard between 48th and 49th Street in Metairie. Call 504-407-5333 for your catering order today. 504-407-5333. Moe's Original Barbecue in Metairie. The holidays are a time for giving, and what better gift than the gift of relaxation? With a gift card to Woodhouse Day Spa, your loved ones can choose from a wide range of services to help them de-stress and rejuvenate. Visit their New Orleans, Metairie, Mandeville, Slidell, and Baton Rouge locations today, or visit their website to purchase a gift card and give the gift of relaxation this holiday season. Woodhouse Day Spa, where relaxation is a gift. Hard Hat Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Ponchatoula strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show.
Let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is home to a new engagement salon where they have a wide selection of engagement rings. Great way to start off the new year. And while you're there, ask them about their collection of fleur-de-lis earrings and necklace that you see here. I have them on now. They're specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, let's get into our lead topic. The Saints keep their playoff hopes alive. They're very slim, but we now kind of know the path for the Saints. There's a couple of paths. Mike, how do the Saints continue to stay alive for the wild card game?
Well, they need to win against Atlanta, which seems maybe more realistic now. They've won 3 of 4 now. Mm-hmm. Atlanta beat them up pretty good, but and then they need help.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the help they need is for this Tampa Bay team that did not look very good today to lose at Carolina. Stranger things have happened. Or they need two things to happen. Seattle lose at the Cardinals, and whoever wins this Vikings-Packers game that's going on tonight, the winner tonight has to lose next week. So they would need a lot of help. They don't control their own destiny. But I bet they'd still like to finish 9-8 and feel pretty good about how they finish things either way.
What do you think about the Saints team keeping it alive? How often did we say heading into this week, we're fooled again? We lied to you on the pregame show. I feel like we did this last week with the LA Rams, and it's opposite day every day with the Saints team, and somehow they pull it off. They probably secured DA's job, which we will get into that much later in the show, but the fact that this team still showed fight, impressive. It's not the first time we haven't seen them show fight this year, but in this manner was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. What do you do with it? Like, are the Saints back? Question mark. Did we underestimate them? Question
like
mark.
This.
Like, no, I mean, I don't think it's any of that. I think it's just who they are. I think they're a mediocre team that's going to win some games. They're going to lose some games.
Yeah.
Some days they're going to look great. Some days they aren't. I thought it was pretty impressive that they found a way to come back and, you know, just battle back after last week's game. That was something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but the whole thing is basically, like, they block better today. And when they block better, you get the offensive performance, and that looks good. But, like, I don't know what the hell just happened. Like, did they just play better? Like, did Cam Jordan just start rushing the passer better? Did they just learn how to play run defense? Like, it makes no sense. And if, like, they just played better, like, why don't they just play better all the time?
Well,
I don't know.
Here's what they actually did today. If I really have to scientifically break it down, is they're an inconsistent team. They're an 8-8 team that plays 500 ball and plays well half the time. But this was the, like,
that's math,
like,
not science.
Right. Well, yeah. What happened is the things just lined up at once. I don't think we've ever seen a first quarter where the offense had their good first quarter and the defense had their good first quarter at the same time. It was actually the first offensive touchdown on the opening drive of the entire season. And instead of it going back and forth, the defense forces a 3-and-out. Defense forces an interception. And was it, you know, it was a shutout in the first half. So I just don't, that's the one thing we hadn't seen is they're not a better team. They still short some warts at the end of the game. But this is the first time that I think the offense had one of their roll the dice, this is one of our best games. The defense had one of their roll the dice, this is one of our best games. And if that combination happens to hit on the same day, it can look like this. Consistency is still not this team's strong suit, though.
Let's get to the Derek Carr stats. 24 for 32, 75%. 197 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 1 sack that he said was his fault, that he stayed in the pocket for too long. He credited his offensive line for keeping him clean the entire game. He said, that one sack was on me, and he had 111.1 passer rating. Was this Derek Carr's best game of the season?
Probably one of them. I mean, I think it's definitely in the conversation. I think he did a really good job of, like, noticing where pressure was going to come from, getting rid of the ball quickly, knowing where they were vacating from. He identified it. Well, I think running the ball decently early, getting out to an early lead, kind of helps take away some of the stuff that they were doing. So the Saints were actually in control in this game, which I don't think they have been enough in a lot of games. So that helps a lot. But, again, the number there, 197 yards, like, you aren't putting the weight of the world on his back and asking him to carry you to victory. I think when you have this supportive structure around him where guys are making plays, you're running the ball okay, you're doing a lot of, like, everything well, and Derek can kind of just be, you know, probably the main cog, but not the only cog. I think you're in the best shape you're going to be in, and that's kind of what they were today.
Playing well in the first half makes such a huge difference, though. Derek Carr has put up better numbers. He had 3 touchdowns in 3 straight games, but we just dismissed it because it was, you know, meaningless, empty yards, empty points because they were down so much. This game, he started 6 of 8 on third downs. The Saints passing or the Saints offense was 6 of 8 on third downs. They build that early lead, and then they got to go on to cruise control. He didn't do that much special in the second half, but we walk away feeling really good about what he did because he did it at the beginning. And that just changes everything, and that's something this team has not done much this year.
All right, let's get to our player of the game presented by Hard Hide Strawberry Whiskey, Juwan Johnson. We've been waiting for this breakout game for the tight end. He had 8 catches for 90 yards. He was targeted 12 times, and he had a touchdown. He's one of a handful of players that Dennis Allen personally went up to them and said, hey, look, I know you're not playing your best ball. I want to see you get there. Show me. I'm going to give you the opportunities. Show me, put it together. And Dennis Allen said in postgame he felt like Juwan Johnson did finally answer the call and put it together. Juwan Johnson, I know his wife was a gymnast in college. He showed that out here with also doing the acrobatics on the one catch. We asked Foster Moreau about it in postgame, and he was like, oh, yeah, I clearly remember that. Why was Juwan Johnson able to have so much success today?
I think that Derek just kind of found him early, and he went to him. But, like, that's the guy we saw in training camp, right?
Absolutely. It's just like, finally. We're not crazy. I know sometimes y'all think we are, and we keep saying training camp, but that is what we saw.
Yeah, and that's what it was. They had the good connection. He went to him. He knew how to get him open. And it was just kind of the way they were playing, too. Like, there was stuff up the seams that I thought was just available to him the whole game. And there were a handful of plays where just pre-snap, like, you're looking at it, and you're like, he's going to be open. Foster Moreau's catch, too, on third down.
Yeah.
That was another one where you could just see the coverage pre-snap. He's going to be open there. So I think just kind of the way they defended the tight ends created a lot of advantages for him. And I thought that was really important because I don't think Chris Olave was 100%. Like, I'll just say it now because the game's over. On Friday, he told me he was going into the game feeling about 60%. Still went out there and played. Absolute warrior for doing it.
Yeah.
But when you're in a situation like that, other people stepping up, helping you, I think is putting you in the best situation. But if Juwan can be half of that every week, like they got house money at that point.
Yeah, two things. Juwan specifically, I mean, shattered career highs today. He had never had more than 5 catches in a game. He had 8 today. Never had more than 67 receiving yards in the game. He had 90 today. Dennis Allen challenged him about a month ago, and he's really been doing it for a couple weeks now. Mm-hmm. 3 straight games with a touchdown. So great to see. But the biggest thing about the tight ends in this game, I think this was a huge game for Pete Carmichael as well, because I think he had his worst game of the season the last time they played Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay said, we're taking your deep threats away from you. You're not going to hit Olave and Shaheed in this game. They had no answers. Derek Carr threw for about 125 yards in that game. He threw 13 passes to Alvin for 33 yards in that game. This time their plan was, let's hit the tight ends, and it worked over and over again. It worked with 3 different tight ends. Great play to Taysom Hill on the touchdown. The first touchdown to Juwan Johnson, he explained, they worked on it all week in practice, set it up last week, ran the same formation, had Johnson start the same route, and then cut it a different way. That was the one they said, first time we get in the red zone, we're hitting this, and it worked perfectly. So it's a good game for Pete Carmichael, too.
I think the big thing in this game was coaching. And Tyrann Mathieu said after the game, the stuff they worked on that they saw on defense early in the game was showing up very early on. And it's like when that happens, you can believe in everything they're telling you, and you just feel it, and it feels different. I think offensively, when you come out and you start hitting some stuff and you have a good drive to start, it just puts you in a rhythm and it makes you feel like, I trust this call. It's going to work. And it just builds that belief. I think when you're coaching well and you're calling plays, it just kind of works as this fuel. And I think that's what we saw today.
Works for the tight ends, which gets to our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Derek Carr finally getting the tight ends involved. As a unit, they had 133 receiving yards. That includes Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau, and Juwan Johnson. They also had 2 touchdowns as a group. I think this Saints team can really continue to unlock things with this offense if they continue to find tight ends, even this late in the season, because we just haven't seen a whole lot of it in the game plan. This could be something that could set them up for success even against the Falcons next week.
Well, I think this was super important, Brooke, because the one thing, I mean, it's basic football, but Tampa, I thought, exposed the Saints earlier this year. We know Derek Carr loves throwing to those deep guys. He loves throwing to Olave and Shaheed, and he loves waiting for that big, the Rams game, the 45-yard. And Tampa was like, we're not giving you that. And there were a couple teams I thought this year. There was one, I think the very next week or 2 weeks later after they played Tampa, was it Jacksonville? They're like, we're taking that away from you, and the Saints didn't have a response. So it's very important that in this game it was not the Olave and Shaheed show. So I thought it was very important that they showed that they had a response.
Yeah, look, I think it'd be good if they did get to it more often. We knew that they had this. We knew that Juwan Johnson could make these plays. We saw it all summer. that wasn't fake. We actually saw it happen. But will they go to it again?
Yeah.
Like, that's the inconsistent consistency with this team. And they should, but will they? And, like, it makes all the sense in the world because you have all these injuries. Chris is hampered. Mike Thomas is out. So where are you going with the ball? Alvin's might be hurt next week with this ankle injury. So where are you going to throw the ball to? Like, I think getting these guys involved makes all the sense in the world. I don't believe in them to do the common sense thing every single week.
How about the defense for stepping up today? They easily could have been our money segment today. They completely thwarted this Baker Mayfield train that seemed like it was, you had mentioned it could have gone off the rails, but I mean, this was a train that was just steamrolling for the last few weeks. The Saints defense figured out how to take away their run game, which, to be honest, hasn't been the best in the last couple weeks for Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield still threw for over 300 yards, but the two interceptions.
It's like one of those Derek Carr games we were talking about.
57 rushing yards as a team. You're absolutely right. A lot of these passing yards are empty. They're window dressing. However we called it for Derek Carr, we're going to call it for Baker Mayfield because that's absolutely what it was in this game. It was about time for the defense to have a game like this.
Look, but like, I just said this and I'm so annoyed by it because it's like, what, they just played better? Like, what the hell? Like, they just played
yep.
better? Like, what just happened? Oh, you can stop
hey, look,
the run
look,
now.
You know what it is? New year, new me. They're just a day early.
Yeah.
I jokingly said that to Kai Hartley and even he was like, because it's just undeniable. No matter if you're a fan, you're a fan of the NFL, you work for the team, you see it time and time again where it's like, who are you? Just
yeah.
answer it and, like, stick with it.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I guess they played the run now. I guess that's the thing they do. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. It's so late in the season. Like, oh, okay. Like, and this is a good running back. Like, he's a tough guy to defend. Like, he's someone, DeMario Davis said that there's only a handful of guys, like, he specifically studies because they're so unique. Rashad's one of those guys. And, like, all right, like, just shut him down. Like, it just makes no sense to
well,
me.
Tampa Bay is not a good running team, though. Their offensive line isn't that great. They're actually, all the stats where the Saints are, like, 31st in the league
though.
In rushing. Tampa Bay was 32nd. But, yeah, the quote that I loved was from Rashad White where he said, they punched us in the mouth at the beginning of the game and we never fought back. Sounds so much like what we were saying about the Saints. And Dennis Allen said it after. We said this is going to be a game we have to win at the line of scrimmages. Some of the Saints didn't do all year, like even in some of their good wins. They beat New England. They beat the Giants. We liked a lot of things. This is the first punch another team in the mouth game. I didn't frankly know they had this in them on both sides of the line yep. of scrimmage.
It was impressive to see somebody who was a big part of this, who is our moment of the game presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company, Jordan Howden getting the start over the rookie safety. Jordan Howden was the moment of the day. We kind of saw it in Friday's practice a little bit. I didn't know if that was necessarily a smokescreen for we are going to start Jordan Howden, but we're going to show you this, so hopefully you report this. No, they showed us their cards that Jonathan Abram was going to get the start. He did get the start back in week 4 against the Bucs and had some success, but man, we did not expect to see the success that he had in today's game. An interception and a forced fumble. Really, really big game for Jonathan Abram.
Definitely could have been. Yeah, I mean, he had an excellent game. I wasn't sure on Friday either, but it was like, well, is Howden still sick? So, like, they're playing
right.
somebody ahead of him. But, I mean, yeah, you nailed that. And, I mean, it was game-changing. He had a pick, force a fumble. Like, the guy just was a difference maker throughout. I mean, there were a handful of things with, like, tackling or whatever that I thought were a little shaky. But, like, his energy was infectious, I think, for the team. You could just see it was a guy that, like, desperately wanted to be on the field. And he just played through the whistle and just made all kinds of plays. I mean, that was a very, very smart decision by them to kind of know their personnel, know that he was going to succeed in this type of game, and major, major difference maker.
What an awesome story, too. I mean, first of all, Alante Taylor, I know we're going to talk about him. His redemption story was so obvious. Got benched last week, came ahead of game. Abram's been under the scenes, former first-round pick. Last year, two different teams, a fourth team this year, bouncing around, practice squad. And DA mentioned that he said they keep stats of who uses their iPad on the team, and he said every week, Jonathan Abram is the guy who's using his iPad the most, working as hard as anyone else, giving scout team looks. We've heard stories about that, and Derek Carr called him his nemesis. But then I thought it was really interesting, too. Alante Taylor said, even on his interception, Jonathan Abram making maybe his first start of the season, only the third game he's played real defensive snaps, is kind of lining up Alante Taylor before the game and telling him, you do this because I'm going to be doing this or whatever. And, I mean, what a great asset to have, like, three deep in your secondary to come in and do that for a game like this.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, someone actually told me that Abram loves football more than anybody on the team, and I think we saw it today.
We actually see it a lot in practice, too. For you guys at home that don't get the viewpoint that we get at practice, how often do we see that guy out there dancing, laughing, talking with players, making sure everybody's caught up to speed? He is the true guy you want on your practice squad that is going to stay hungry, is going to wait for his moment. And then once he gets his moment, he's going to shine. Now, I don't know if this was enough for him to earn the starting job at safety, but it was a good enough look that other teams are going to recognize it. But honorable mention for the moment of the day has to be Alante Taylor and redeeming himself. He was benched. No matter who you are, you could be benched in your job. It sucks. And the fact that he came right back the next week and said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to handle Mike Evans. I'm going to handle Chris Godwin. Mike Evans did rough up Alante Taylor a couple times when Mike Evans was not targeted. I was curious how Alante Taylor was going to respond to that. He did. He shook it off, said, all right, cool, guy. Like, you got one on me and threw me to the side. I'm going to go up and save a touchdown, go get an interception, and be the guy that redeems myself. To me, this was probably one of my more favorite stories this season, that I think DA probably was the first time we've seen him like crack a smile about a guy in the secondary and just be really proud of a kid who did get benched and then came back and got his first NFL interception.
I mean, you said it, and look, the way he responded to this, I thought was going to be really important, because he is someone that I don't know how to say, but a very passionate individual.
Very passionate.
And you saw midweek kind of how he bounced back from it. I think it's a good learning lesson for him. It's kind of a, you know, one of those, hey, like, figure out what you got to do to succeed type things. Here's some adversity. How are you going to respond to it? Respond to it in the best possible way.
Yeah, and he really credited his teammates for boosting his confidence. And it's funny. Derek Carr was just talking the other day about how you learn, how you have to pump people up differently. Some people like hard coaching. Some people – and what Alante Taylor really responded to, he loved that his teammates said, you go be cocky. You go have your swagger. That's what you do, and that's what we need in this game. And he really – I think that really made him feel comfortable, because that's how he likes to play, and that's tough when your confidence gets shaken.
Yeah, he said that Tyron came to him and said, be arrogant. You're arrogant. Play arrogant. And he said Derek Carr, opponent, came to him and had some words that meant a lot to him, too, that kind of got him back on track.
When I went and talked with Alante Taylor, because I know you and I talked to him at different times, he even said DeMario came up to him and said, you're that guy, you're talented, be him. And he does have the tattoo on him behind his ear. So, I mean, look, if you're going to get a tattooed on him, you got to have that mentality and that confidence. Let's shift gears to the offensive line. There's no better way to put it than saying this has kind of been a makeshift offensive line this year. So many injuries. You had another one today with Landon Young going out. I wonder, let's say this team does, let's just play it the if game. If this team goes into the playoffs, is this offensive line made to have success in the playoffs? I mean, this is eventually going to get opened up, right? Landon Young has been able to handle it. But with Cam Irving now, is this going to be one of those situations where a team is going to find them out with the offensive line?
I actually like Cam Irving as a Jonathan Abram type.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam Irving has started in Carolina, started in Kansas City on a Super Bowl team. He's like a legitimate eighth offensive lineman that you're not necessarily panicking to go to. I was kind of surprised they've been going with Landon Young over him. So I don't think that specific drop-off scares me too much, but obviously you can't afford to lose. I mean, you can't afford to lose McCoy, Ruiz, Pete,
anybody,
Hurst.
I mean, can't else, lose. Yeah.
I don't want to go to anyone else, but if you're just losing Young and going to Irving, okay. Because Irving's now played significant minutes in two games and I think held up well both times. But, yeah, they're definitely playing with fire at that position, especially having put Ryan Ramczyk on injured reserve this week.
I don't want to be insulting to anyone, but, like, you're dropping from Ramczyk to Irving, you know?
Right.
Like, that's
right,
the drop.
Right,
and then,
right,
and the playoffs are a different beast. Like, the game planning is different. Like, when you have weaknesses, people find them. I think their offensive line is, if they make it into the playoffs, I think there's going to be a significant exposure just because it's just too much attrition. There's just too much. You got too many guys moving around. Like, they've gotten by with it. The playoffs are so, so much different that it's just, if you have, there's people working around the clock, like, and they are going to find every little thing and it's going to show up. And the key to beating this team is by creating pressure. So going into it, all hands are on deck on figuring that out. And then you got multiple strings to pull on. Like, I think it frays big
and it wasn't long ago that we just saw the offensive line have probably its worst performance of the season against the Rams, which is a playoff caliber team, and they haven't played a lot of playoff caliber teams this year.
This is leads to an interesting question. We've been talking about there's some guys on IR, there's some guys that are injured that said, you know, we'll be back if it's the playoffs. A few of those, Do we see Marshawn Lattimore, Michael Thomas, Peyton Turner, or Ryan Ramczyk in the playoffs? Are any of those realistic?
If they make the playoffs, I mean, things might change. I don't know, though. I mean,
who's closer to coming back to play?
We could see Peyton Turner this week.
Okay.
The other guys are a different question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And Ramczyk can't mathematically come back until the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the Mike and Marshawn question is the bigger mystery.
Yeah, I think there's more to it.
We'll see what happens. We'll take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about the head coach, Dennis Allen, and what this win means for him in his career, what this means for his future. We're hopefully going to come back. There's a lot of fumes going around from the fertilizer.
This is adding Jordy Collada. They're going from Saints to LSU on the field
LSU
right behind
Wisconsin
us. I think they're
playing here tomorrow.
The NOF logo.
Real grass, so a lot of fertilizer going on right now. We're going to hopefully not be too loopy. We'll come back ready to roll for the second break. Stay with us.
Tis the season for Gumbo Combos at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, soft-shell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99. That's right, $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
No loan payments for 90 days with local financing from Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union on your next auto, boat, RV, ATV, or motorcycle. That's right, no loan payments for 90 days when you close your loan by December 31st. Jefferson Financial offers easy-to-use online applications, fast decisions, and local personalized service. The financial products you want with the convenience you deserve. We are Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Apply online at jeffersonfinancial.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Toro, we were born for moments like this. From bringing new bundles of joy into the world to delivering what new mothers need to stay healthy. Born to keep hearts beating strong. And to keep seniors active and healthy for years to come. Because at Turo, we deliver more than babies. From heart care to cancer care, and newborns to seniors, at Turo, we're born to care.
Hey, Brad, I got you something I think you're really going to like for your gift this year.
What? Is this one of those Martin's exclusive bourbon bottles?
Picked it out just for you.
Maya, this is awesome. But I think you're going to love the gift I got you a little bit more.
Wow. Mega Wine generic brand vodka. Brad, you shouldn't have.
Not to mention it.
No, Brad, you shouldn't have.
Look, small batch, smooth, soft spice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a New Orleans Saints scratch up. Play New Orleans Saints from the lottery. Just scratch, fold, and punch your way to winnings. Punch your ticket with New Orleans Saints. Win up to $100,000. Enter our second chance draw, giving you a season to smile.
Welcome back to the Mobile Touro Hospital studio, joining you live from Tampa Bay, where it is no longer warm like it was in our pregame show where we were sweating. We're a little bit cold, so you might see some air coming off here in Tampa. Nonetheless, we're going to continue trying to bring you the best Saints coverage, starting with Zach Bond, the pass rusher. How has he handled this new role, which shouldn't be new in my opinion?
Yeah, I mean, he disappeared in the Rams game because they never got to rush a passer.
Yeah.
So it was good to see him back, and that's something that hopefully they're going to continue building on. I think they found something late in the season, but it might, you know, one of many things they found on this field today that might be too little too late.
Yeah,
it helps. You know, I think it's a good thing to figure out. They've needed pass rush all season. He's given them a little bit. So anything you can do to make use of your players, I think is smart. And I think there was just a philosophical shift in how they design and play defense about 4 weeks ago. They got more aggressive. They started, hey, we got to get some pressure. Hey, we got to get some sacks. And when they made a commitment to do that, I think it brought Dennis Allen back to kind of his roots. And it's like when a musician makes that album later in their career and they, like, name it after the first album that, like, put them on the map. That's kind of what D.A. did, and he found himself again doing that. And it's been a hit. Like, they've been playing better since they figured that out.
How did the secondary hold up against Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? Before you guys answer, Chris Godwin only had 3 catches for 81 yards, the 1 touchdown. That was at the end of the game. Mike Evans, 3 catches for 70 yards.
Yeah, I'll just answer. I'm going to say a quote here. I was talking to Alante Taylor, asking him some questions. And Ike Yiadom was at the next locker, and he said, to be honest, we strapped them. So that's what they did.
I forgot to mention this earlier when we were talking about Baker Mayfield's numbers. The Buccaneers had 44 yards in the first half. 44 net yards, because there were some sacks involved in there. 133-yard catch to Mike Evans. Some penalties that helped them out, but other than that, a whole lot of nothing. All those passing yards came late when they felt like empty yards.
Yeah, no, the defense clamped down on this offense. And to quote Cam Jordan in the locker room as he was saying, you know, how we're going to play against the Falcons next week and everybody else, we're going to continue to choke them out. We were like, all right, Cam, keep pushing.
Talk about needing to believe it, to see it, to believe it. That Atlanta team, it was not long ago when the Saints season felt like it was on the brink, and they didn't stop that Atlanta team from running for about 250 yards against them. Just because Atlanta's struggling right now, I'm going to need to see it to believe it, that they know how to stop that running offense.
They still
week.
Got a monster in Bijan Robinson. Let us not forget that he could single-handedly disrupt this defense.
And you were asking me about playoff scenarios, just in case anyone's looking at the 7-9 Falcons and thinking they have nothing to play for. They can still win the NFC South, too. So both teams will be trying in that game.
Yeah, the secondary, they talked about it this week, and we're going to have a story on it, so I'm not going to give too much away. But they had a meeting yesterday just about what they are when everybody in the secondary is performing well and what it does for the team. And they kind of put it on themselves, like, all right, we got to bring this back regardless of how many people were down. I think we saw that today. Like, there was just kind of like a – it was back to what we expected from them. And there was kind of like a moment after that Rams game where it's like, man, like, are they Fugazi? Did they get exposed here? Like, are they rocking a Bolex instead of a Rolex? And, like, today they came back out, and they were shining the way it's supposed to shine. So that thing was ticking right, and they played the way they're supposed
B-O-L-E-X.
To play.
B-O-L-E-X?
Yeah.
B-O-L-E-X.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, is that the secret sauce that Tyron was trying to tell us about this meeting?
We're never
going to hear it. It's not in the article.
No,
we gotta find
a
way.
It's not. They're never gonna tell us the secret from the beginning of the season, because the secret failed. Like, whatever it was, like, they lost their way.
You know what? I'm mad. We had an opportunity. Everybody was happy in post game. I'm mad. I did not take the opportunity to try to just.
They're wearing NFC South championship T-shirts in the locker room next week. You can ask.
Yeah, the other thing too, Almonte said if they had won, they would have been wearing T-shirts. And Nassie's like, we weren't letting that happen. Like, nobody's putting on T-shirts on us. So
well, good for them though.
It was a shirt and hat game though.
I you're the one who interviewed him. And I listened to that interview later, and I made it the lead quote of my story. That said something to me. Now, look, this Saints team, nobody's writing home about how great they were or whatever, but kudos to their pride that they recognize we're not letting this team celebrate their championship on us today.
Which gets to our next topic. What does this win say about this team?
They just won't quit. Like, they just won't quit. Like, you keep waiting for them to quit. They won't. I mean, that's what it says. It's unbelievable. Like, there's so many moments for them to fold, and every time you think, like, this is it, they're going to get exposed, they're like, no, we're going to keep doing this, and that isn't who we're going to be. Man, you can hate them. You can hate what it means for the long term, but, like, you cannot hate this team's resolve. Like, they are a resilient bunch of people, and their heart is just – it's tremendous. It really is.
Look, the Saints have maybe foolishly or wrongly invested in this core of this team for too long. The last couple of years they've stayed all in instead of rebuilding. People, you know, rebuild, do it all over. There's a lot of core leaders. DeMario Davis stands out as one of them that they really believe in, and those guys, you know, father time is catching up with them, injuries are catching up with them, the salary cap is catching up with them, but there are still some special guys on this team, and that's kind of probably why they're in this predicament.
What'd it mean to you?
I thought to me it says the locker room is not as broken as maybe the outside world thinks it is. And potentially they don't feel as badly about the head coach as the rest of the fan base does. But I actually want to kick it to you, because you got a great quote about how maybe the locker room was falling apart a little bit and now it's kind of back and secure.
Yeah, I mean, and we got a story on it, so sign up for that.
My 20, bad.
25% off. Use the code 2024. Get on there. Sign up for the site. All kinds of great content. But, no, we can tease it a little bit. I mean, the story's just kind of about that. But, yeah, they were on the cusp. They were on the cusp of breaking after that three-game losing streak. And just a bunch of guys kind of came together, and they just made sure it didn't fall apart. And the locker room figured out how to just kind of be there for each other, independent of any other factor. And that's the stuff they've leaned on to kind of get back to this point. So it just speaks to the resiliency of this team and then the maturity of the leaders and kind of some of the stuff they did. And we detail that in the story.
All right, let's get to our Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Interesting question submitted today. Is this the best win in Dennis Allen's career as a Saints head coach, not including the win as an interim head coach when Sean got COVID? Also, do you think Carr has done enough to warrant a contract restructure this offseason, which clears up space but also makes Saints more financially committed to Carr post-2024?
All right. I was thinking about the DA question. Maybe. It feels like Cleveland and Philly last year, too, and very, very similar.
The Cleveland win was crazy.
I was pretty impressed with the way they went into Cleveland in the frigid temperatures, and they were the more physical team than the home team that plays in those conditions. So I'll put it, and then they went into Philly, played Gardner Minshew, but that was still the number one seed in the NFC who went to the Super Bowl. So same time of year, same, we didn't meet our goals, but we're not done fighting. I'm going to put it in the same bucket with those games.
Cleveland's
the most wins he's ever had. Eight. He didn't get there last year.
Cleveland's second half. And I think the Cleveland one feels different to me because the second half was so much better than the first. But at halftime, I thought everybody had to get fired. Like, I thought it was the craziest True. Game plan that I had ever seen. True. And then it was like they came out at halftime and just was like, all right, we got this. And the way they were able to rebound from that, like, it made the second half feel so much more special. So that was a good win. Because, like, they found something. They responded to adversity when it felt like a moment where they were going to fold. This is, I don't know. It's on the list. But I do think I think DA's coming back. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think there's any possibility of him going anywhere. I think he's head coach of the team in 2024. Hate it. Love it. Write to your congressman. Like, I think that's just what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it was about this game independently, but I think this game emboldened that stance even more. There is no way. I don't care what happens next week. I don't think there is any way that DA loses his job.
I will say this. Think of it in reverse. If you're the Saints fans that I hear from all the time that were hoping almost that the bottom would drop out on this team so they would fire DA, I think we had pretty good indications they were not going to fire DA. They did not put it all on him. I think they're going to make changes to this team. They recognize the need for that. But since you know they're not firing DA, then enjoy this win and be glad that, you know, like, they're showing that they're still playing for him, and maybe it's not as bad as you thought it was, because he is going to be the coach of this team next year. You had a second part to that question. Derek Carr, I didn't quite hear all the details of the question, but did they say do restructure him or don't restructure him? I think they're going to. I mean, there is one school of thought that says don't make that number balloon, that salary cap number balloon so much in the future that you can never get out from under it, but if they don't borrow that money from his salary cap number, they'll borrow it from other players' salary cap numbers. His is the easy one to borrow it from. If he stinks next year and you draft Jaden Daniels or whatever, you can get away from it. It'll be hard math someday, but they're going to restructure his contract. It's the easiest path to get under the cap next year.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably almost certainly going to do it because it's like $25 million right there that you get. I mean, the argument for it would be is if you're going to start trying to pay off some of this debt and
but
you're trying
not.
To do both. Yeah, they aren't. So if they restructured, it means that they're going to keep trying to go all in to build around them. I think that's exactly what they're going to do. As far as restructuring him and not paying it off, bringing back DA, like, I'm not endorsing any of this stuff. Like, I think it could very much go sideways either way. I need to see more. Got to see who they hire as the OC. If they make a change at OC, I think they should. I think they should change a lot of people on the offensive staff. I think they need to get more athletic at skill positions. I think they need to get more athletic on the edges. I think they need to get more athletic offensive tackles. I think they got to get more athletic in the secondary. So, I mean, there is a multitude of problems. If you can answer all those, there's a scenario where things work, but there's 45 scenarios where they don't. So whoever the maestro is needs to figure out how to make everything play in sync next year, and I think it's going to be a very difficult job.
They're going to have to figure what they're going to do with Alvin Kamara this week. There's a select number of injuries. Let's go ahead and start with the big one. Alvin Kamara sprained his ankle in this game. He tried to test it out and come back at halftime. Did not work. He is out. Depending on whether he comes back or not, could be bad news for the Saints against the Falcons next week. Nephi Sewell had a significant knee injury. He could not walk off on his own strength. He had to be carted off. Dennis Allen did say that he will miss an extended period of time. Landon Young, also a knee injury. Not a whole lot of clarity yet on that. I know you've got more information there. Juwan Johnson played through a shoulder injury, and of course we will see the injury report if there was anything that we missed throughout the flow of a game. But, man, Alvin Kamara, tough. And Nephi Sewell plays a really significant part on special teams. That is a big hurt, too.
Yeah, so No information on Alvin's. We'll see. Working on that one. We'll see what kind of shakes free from that. I don't think Landon Young's going to need surgery. I think it's more of
That's
like
good.
In the nature of a sprain coming off the field. That's kind of what the thought was. You get a scan, and sometimes that changes. But I don't think it's a major injury, but I doubt we see him play. And then, yeah, I think Nephi's was bad. He's going to get scans tomorrow to kind of confirm it. I mean, it's too bad. He was starting to play himself into a role. Man, he was really good at linebacker the game. He had to play really good on special teams, as you said. So, yeah, a handful of hits here for sure going into the finale. Not where you want to be.
My very amateur medical expertise is if Alvin tried to play in the second half, I mean, maybe that rules out high ankle sprain. But I asked Dennis Allen that after the game, and he would not give a high, low. But, I mean, obviously there's some ankle injuries that are so severe you wouldn't even try to play through them. But still, even if it's a low ankle sprain like Chris Olave just had, makes it hard to play in 6 or 7 days.
All right, that'll do it for us in Tampa Bay. Some people have asked in the chat if Nick does a film breakdown.
Yep,
and he wants to subscribe. So, yes, you've got the film breakdown. Go ahead and subscribe
if
you want to get to
that information. Use the code 2024, 25% off your first payment. Code expires at midnight Central Time, I guess.
Yeah.
Eastern, I don't know. I don't know how the system's set, so do it by 11.
And we'll be back live. There we go. We'll be back live on Wednesday. But I'm looking at 292 people, 296 watching us live right now. I'm assuming you guys are waiting for the fireworks. But we so appreciate our NOF audience. We hope you guys have a happy new year. Thank you for kicking it with us. And we will see you guys back live on Wednesday.
Next year.